Wow, thank you guys. Wasn't that great? Wasn't that great just to be in the presence of the Father, just to declare our praises to him? I almost don't want to stop, and I know what I'm going to say. It's just great to be in his presence. And you know, as we stood there and we sang those words, I stand in awe of you, it just occurred to me that you can only be in awe of somebody you know. You can't be in awe of someone you know nothing about. How well do you know him tonight? What is it about him that makes you stand in awe? It's going to be my sermon. What was it? Just before I bring what I believe God's put on my heart, just one quick notice reminder. November the 5th, 2 weeks today, we've got the next one in our series of big question events. Who knows what it's on? You've got the notices in front of you, Pete. Go on. Does religion cause wars? November the 5th theme for any of those who are historians. Does religion cause wars? We'd love to see you here, but we wouldn't just love you to see you here. We'd love to see your friends too. So please do think about and pray about who you can invite. We'd need to let Nick know, who's in charge of Kate's. And Jill, are you helping maybe? If you can let them know if you're planning to come, because it is really helpful for them to know about numbers for cakes. But please do come if you can make it and bring your friends. Okay. So tonight, get rid of this. Do that. Tonight we're continuing the series looking into normal Christianity. What it means to live a normal Christian life. Gareth introduced the series a number of weeks ago, and he started by talking about what is normal. What do we mean by normal when it comes to Christianity? And he talked a lot, and we've talked a lot since, about this theme of Jesus talking about streams of living water flowing out of you and flowing out of me. That streams of living water, meaning the power and the reality of the kingdom of God that Jesus said will flow in, through us, and out of us as believers and into the lives of others that we come into contact with. Why? So that they can be blessed and encouraged. And if you've not followed the series, we looked at three things first. We looked at things that potentially can block that flow of the river, if you like, almost like boulders in a river. Three boulders we looked at: self-reliance, fear, and unbelief. Things that can block God flowing in our lives and through us. And now we're in the middle of looking at three things that we need to know. So last week, Alan talked about knowing who we are in God. And if you were here, remember that he talked about knowing just how valued you are by him and how precious you are. And tonight, we're going to look at who God is. I've already said that we can only stand in awe of the person we know. So we're going to look at who God is. So I'm just going to pray. And I'm just going to pray, Lord, as I share tonight, I pray that I will be able to share something of who you are and of your heart for each one of us and for your heart for this community we live. Pour your spirit upon me, Lord, that your words would speak out clear tonight. Amen. So in order to live a normal Christian life, which is what we're talking about, in all its fullness, it's so important we have a clear revelation in our hearts about the true nature of God, about who he is, and about what he's like. And Gareth's done it to me again. He's given me 25 minutes to talk on who is God. I mean, it took Jesus 3 years, right? And I got 25 minutes. So I'm going to just focus on one aspect of who is God tonight. But I believe it's a fundamentally important aspect. We're going to look at his heart for you, his heart for me, and the fact that our God is a good God. Our God is a good, good Father. See, there are lots of Bible references to the goodness of God. And perhaps, if you want to, this week you can spend some time looking up some of those references in the Old Testament, New Testament, that talk about the goodness of God. I'll give you one as a starter. Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." But you see, we're encouraged not just to intellectually know that God is good, but again from Psalm 34, verse 8, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Not just to know, but to taste and see. See, taste is an experience. Seeing is perception. You'll see what you experience. So how do we do that? Well, firstly, and I would suggest most importantly, we do that by looking at the person of Jesus. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus was the complete embodiment of the Father. The writer to the Hebrews explains like this. He said, he, talking about Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God. The radiance of the glory of God. The exact imprint of his nature. I don't know whether you know, it's no coincidence these songs. I didn't pick the songs, but we've sung about this tonight. What was the first lines, our musicians will know, the first lines of Wonderful Name? What's the first verse of that? You were the word at the beginning, and it goes on. Have you got it there? Can you just flash it up for me, Pete? Just check you're awake. Because I just twigged us out the first verse of you. No, first verse. The God who was the one at the beginning, hidden glory in creation, now revealed how? Now revealed in you, our Christ. See, Jesus is the true, thank you, he's the true and perfect representation of the Father. You know, Jesus came to earth to do many things. To die for us, of course, to save the lost, to restore sight to the blind, to heal the sick, to proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. And at the heart of all these, I'll suggest to you, is this one thing. He said he came to reveal the heart of the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In all Jesus said and did, his intention was to reveal the Father's heart as a good and as a gracious God. See, Jesus illustrated without blemish who the Father was. The Father had not been seen or witnessed in this way before Jesus. In the Old Testament, many things were believed and practiced which were not, if you look, carried on in the New Testament. Why? Because Jesus brought a fresh revelation of who the Father was and a clarification of his love for us. See, in the New Testament, there's a shift from the old to the new. Clues in the name. Jesus comes to show that God's mercy is greater than the tragedy and the consequences of sin. Before Jesus came, the Old Testament teaching was all about what? The consequences of sin. That was seen time and time again in the life of Israel. The consequences of sin. See, sin made them and us unclean and unacceptable to God. The Old Testament warning was clear. Sin will contaminate you. And folks, that's still true today. That reality still exists. If undealt with, sin will contaminate and destroy. But praise God, Jesus came to reveal a new reality. See, in the Old Testament, if you touched a leper, you became unclean. In the New Testament, Jesus touched a leper, and the leper became clean. A new reality. Jesus showed through that in many, many ways, in words and deeds, that a new time had come. He comes, touches a leper, and that leper's made clean. And let's be clear, Jesus never tolerated sin, but he never judged sinners either. He was disliked and more because sinners loved to be with Jesus. He was constantly around sinners. Why? Why would people like that want to spend so much time around someone who was holy? Well, I'll suggest it's because they knew their lives could be changed. See, they knew and they witnessed that Jesus had the ability to change whatever crisis, whatever situation they were in. Wherever Jesus went, people were blessed. Lives were transformed and people were restored. Why? Because that's the Father's heart. Jesus said he only does what he sees his Father doing. He didn't make this up on his own. He did what he'd been sent to do and what he saw the Father doing. That's the Father's heart, to bless, restore, transform. Jesus showed us the good Father. Showed us that we have a God who's for us and has a huge heart for people. But more than that, as I said, and I'll keep saying tonight, he's a Father who loves to bless and has the power to change situations and lives. See, if God is possible, if God is present, anything is possible. People can be restored. Your life can be restored. Whatever your circumstances tonight, God is here and you can be restored and changed. And it will happen. It will happen if we allow him to. But also, the mystery in this is that we have to be willing to participate in this work with him too. He's called us to be co-laborers. So this is all fantastic news, and you should be nodding and applauding and cheering and, right, thank you. All fantastic, wonderful, good news, right? It's a coin of phrase. But I suggest it's only of limited benefit if we're not prepared to let that truth change the way we think and act. And you know, I heard an illustration just literally under 2 hours before I came out tonight, which I'll just use now. And maybe this will just be a memory jolt for you this week. Think of a seatbelt, right, in a car. You all know seatbelts in cars. You can know all about seatbelts. You can know about what they're meant to do. You could even maybe even know the name of the inventor, know how an inertia reel works, know all about what seatbelts are and meant to do and how good they are for you and how they save lives. But if you never put that seatbelt on when you get in the car, what good is it going to do you? And likewise, you may know how good God is, but if you're not willing to act on that, then you're missing out. See, Romans 12:2, verse we all know well. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but let your minds be transformed. The renewing of your mind. As you hear the truth, let your mind be transformed. So, first question, what was your expectation of God when you came tonight? What was your expectation of him and what you were going to receive from him tonight based on the fact he's a good God? Were you expecting to taste and see God's goodness in action tonight in your life and in the lives of others? Are you expecting now for God to demonstrate his goodness to you? See, very quickly, because I know time's going on out, I've got a difficult situation going on in my life at the moment that I won't go into. And maybe it was no coincidence that this is all happening while I was preparing this word. And I've got a choice to take about this situation, not in terms of action, but in my mind, about whether I'm going to let the situation consume me or not, but what my expectation is of God through it. If I believe he's a good father, what do I expect God to do with this situation? That doesn't mean that the outcome will always be the outcome I desire or want, but it does mean that all things will work for good for those who believe and trust in him, because He is good. See, the battle for our mind is so, so key. How we think often drives how we act. The devil uses this weapon against us time and time again. It's one of his oldest techniques. Let's go back to the start of the Bible. Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden. See, the enemy got Adam and Eve to disobey God by calling into question God's heart, specifically his good nature. In Genesis 3, 4, 5, we read this. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, the fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." See, the devil questioned God's goodness by suggesting to Eve that he was withholding something from her and Adam. The enemy lied about the nature of God and the motive of his heart, and Eve fell for it. And the devil will try and tell you and I lies to steer us away from God's plan for our lives. When we encounter problems or disappointments, he'll whisper things like, "It's because you sinned. It's because you weren't good enough." Or, "You trusted God for that, and he didn't deliver, he let you down." You know what? He's not the God you thought he was. And this all acts to inhibit us from trusting God, from expecting him to move, from experiencing life transformation in ourselves and seeing it in others. It prevents us from seeing God's kingdom break in. See, if we focus on circumstances rather than character, we're focusing on the wrong thing. The reality of this world is not the reality of the kingdom. God's good. His kingdom is a place where his goodness is put on display. Now, let's be honest, disappointment in our lives is a huge factor here. We've all had disappointments in life. Some of you have had much bigger, possibly, disappointments than I've experienced. Some of you have had very big disappointments. Maybe you've prayed for something really important, and tonight you honestly feel that God didn't come through for you. Maybe you've experienced real tragedy in your life. Maybe you've been praying for years for someone and you're yet to see an answer. These are all the realities we have to deal with. How do you deal with that? And I don't want to minimize anything that any of you folks have been through here. Any pain, disappointment is all very, very real. And possibly even you have anger about it. But I know God doesn't want you to feel that way. He wants to help you deal with it, not ignore it. See, these things don't mean God isn't good. But be real with him about it. I mean, go back to the Psalms again. Some of the Psalms are amazing. You see David, the writer of the Psalms, ranting at God, telling him how he feels, telling him about his problems. Not in a polite way, right? So God can cope with you telling him how you feel, trust me. But then what did David go on to say in Psalm 13? "I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." So if that describes you tonight, if you've got pain, disappointment, anger, resentment, whatever words you want to use, try God. He'll cope with it, trust me. He's got big shoulders. I haven't seen him, but I know he's got big shoulders. Try it and see how God responds. So don't let past experiences limit your expectation of what God can do in and through you. See, our experiences, if they're positive, can inform and boost our expectations. We all know we've prayed for someone, we see an answer to prayer that encourages us to pray for someone else. But the flip side can be true. And we can't let those experiences hold us back. See, whatever we've experienced, the truth is still God is good. So let's press in to taste and see more. And he's given us good gifts, that's the theme for this series, to help us taste and see so that we can help others also experience the Father's heart. He's a gift-giving God. He does what? He gives good gifts for the common good. See, the gifts that he has given to us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are to help transform people's lives, just as Jesus did. They're given so that we can truly experience for themselves a Father who's patient, gentle, kind, gives joy, and is love. A Father who speaks into situations, who guides, who heals, who restores. All gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, question, what are you doing with these? What am I doing with these? See, folks, they aren't optional. After commissioning his disciples to go into the world and do what he'd been doing, he said, wait. Wait until you've been clothed with power. It wasn't some of the disciples went off and did it and others said, oh, no, hang on, I think I quite like the idea of these. They had to wait. See, these gifts come from the Holy Spirit. They're part of him. These gifts aren't an optional extra for a Christian life. As we're looking at in this series, they're to be a normal part of our everyday experience. See, folks, it's not God the Father, God the Son, and, well, if you fancy it, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't an optional extra, and the Holy Spirit comes with the gifts. They are one. You accept the Father, you accept the Son, you accept the Holy Spirit and his gifts. We've been given something as a deposit into our lives. We're in debt to him for what we've received, and the motive for us pursuing his gifts is because they are the fruits of the Holy Spirit deposited in our lives. See, I have a responsibility that God's given me, and my responsibility isn't to work my way to heaven. My responsibility isn't to get to heaven. I can't do anything about that. All I can do is accept Jesus, and it's his responsibility to make me clean and acceptable to his Father. But we do have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to bring heaven down to earth. Our responsibility is to bring heaven now and the reality of heaven into the everyday. To be a practical expression of the reality of the kingdom now. Jesus said, as God sent me, so I send you. So what's the assignment? The assignment's to reveal the Father. To be an ambassador. To be a bringer of all God's goodness into people's lives. His love, his peace, his grace, his truth, his power, etc. To have this stream of living water flowing in and through us into the lives of others in kingdom words and deeds. So the challenge, as I draw towards a close tonight, which will wake everyone up, I believe is this. What are you and I going to do today as a result of seeing the Father's heart? What expectations are you going to walk out of this room with today? Knowing how much God loves you. Knowing that he's a good father who gives good gifts. But also knowing that your calling is to reveal the kingdom and take heaven to those who don't know him. To the people you're going to meet tonight. To your family. To the people in your workplace. To the people at school. Wherever it may be. What expectations are you going to have of what God can do? Because he wants to bless. Will you have big expectations because he's good and you've tasted and seen that? Will you be willing to trust him to accept his gifts and use them to bless others, to reveal the kingdom? Will you fan into flame the gifts that have been deposited inside of you? Which is the phrase that the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. Will you do that? Are you willing to do that because of the gift that's been deposited in you? And if you don't know God tonight, and you don't know his goodness is something that you haven't experienced, then are you willing today to ask him to show himself to you? That's all you need to do. To pray, Jesus, reveal yourself to me, show me the Father's heart. And if you're willing to do that today, then please ask someone to pray with you before you leave. I'd love to pray with you, or someone you know here, we'd love to pray with you and just pray that prayer into your life. So as I wrap up, I think I'm doing pretty well time-wise. Here's the deal for tonight, folks. This is what we're going to do. We're going to spend some time just with an opportunity to respond to what God's been saying through this service. I really believe that this word is such an important word for us. The whole series is important. But you know, you and I have got a good Father, one who blesses, one that wants the best for you. But out of that, there is a responsibility on each of us. You know, each has been blessed much so that we can bless others. We have a responsibility to share his heart. But we've been given gifts to do that. What are you going to do with those? So as the worship team come up, they've come up. Thank you, guys. Here's the deal tonight. Forgive me, but I just felt this was right to do. Don't be embarrassed by this, and you don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to worry you all now by saying don't be embarrassed by this. Here's what I want you to do, and I just look, this is, don't worry about anyone else around you. This is your opportunity to respond to your good Father, right? So here's the deal. Stand up now if you've experienced God's goodness in your life in the last week. If you know that you've experienced his goodness in the last week. Or in the last month. Wow, that's just about everyone. I don't need to go on any further, but let me read on what I was going to say. Stand up if you know God is good, but you want to have your expectations raised of what he can do and will do in and through you. You know, I want my expectations to be elevated because of who my Father is. And of what he can do in and through me. And if you're one of those people tonight, as I said, who've experienced disappointment and hurt in the past, and you know that this has affected your ability to trust him, both for yourself and others, then in this time now, be real with him. He knows already. And just come before him and say, Lord, please help me deal with this. With the hurt of the past and the disappointment, help me step out into new things and not be limited by maybe it's the lies of the devil, it may be real situations that are holding you back. But you know, he wants you to press on in because he's a good Father. So if you tonight want to press into all that God has for you, including his good gifts, then as the musicians just play. Whatever you want to do, if you want to remain standing, that's great, and sing as they sing. If you want to sit down and spend some time just with him, that'd be great. If you want somebody to pray with you and there's someone around you feel happy to get to pray with you, then do that. If you want somebody to pray with you, go to the back of the room so it's all, and we'll come and pray with you. This is just an opportunity now for the good Father to give you good gifts. So I'm just going to pray, and then these guys will start singing, and let's just spend this time with him. Lord, I thank you that you are a good, good Father. I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, everyone just stood when I said, stand if you've experienced the goodness of God in the last week. Lord, we experience your goodness and blessing every day. And Lord, I just thank you for that in my life and my family. Lord, raise our expectations of what we will see you do and what you will do through us for the common good of those we come into contact with. Lord, if there's people here who've experienced disappointments and hurt, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would come and heal and restore tonight. Do what you need to do and do best in them in the way that you can only do it. And Father, I just pray now, Lord, I just thank you for that amazing time of worship at the beginning. I thank you for your presence with us. And Lord, I pray that as these folks stand up in response to you tonight, that Father, you would pour your Spirit out upon these folks, upon this room, upon this place. Lord, not that we want to be witnesses of signs and wonders for the sake of signs and wonders, Lord, but we want to experience the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Lord, that lives will be transformed and restored and renewed, that you'd pour your Spirit out upon these people, that they might go and be blessing to others, to take your kingdom. Lord, you taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we want to see more and more of the reality of your kingdom here right now in our own lives and in the lives of those who are on our minds as I'm praying now. Lord, pour out your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.